Don't you hate feeling powerless? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Rob Radosti, who sought for power by becoming a Satanist because he always felt powerless.
You know, I think that sometimes we don't even realize that we are powerless or we feel empowered by certain things. Looking back, I can say now that I tried to find power myself. And a lot of it was based out of fear. I grew up not having anyone to protect me, not having a dad, mom not being around. So I had to live kind of the street smart wise, you know, and be tough. And so being around a lot of people who were thugs or in a gang, I also had to put on that persona and get in a lot of fights and prove myself. And so I felt powerful because I'm the white girl hanging around all these other people who are tough, and yet I'm just as tough and I can keep up with them. And it made me feel powerful and that no one can mess with me.
Well, you were a tough cookie when we met, you know? And that makes sense, that mindset, because I think everyone is looking to be powerful because you're either going to be feeling like you're in power or you'll feel powerless, or basically you feel like you're in control or that you have no control. You know, everyone likes to do things to feel like they're in control. They may not be in control, but they want to feel like they're in control. What happens to them, how it happens to them, when it happens to them. Nobody wants things to just happen out of their will and desires. And so that's why people can want and desire power. Remember when I was younger, I felt powerless when situations happened to me, how I gained power. When I was like in high school, I thought, you know, it was education. Get a lot of education, just be smarter than everyone else, and it's survival of the fittest, you know? And power equals education.
Yeah, and a lot of people can place that into different things that they do, and they feel more powerful. Well, I'm the boss. Or I have a great education, so I'm bigger and better and more powerful. Or whatever it is in your realm, we can utilize those aspects to feel powerful. But the truth is, like you said, we're not in control of the situation. We may try to control things, but really when I gave up that control to God and I said, listen, you are more powerful than me, God, please take care of me because I can't watch my back every second. You know, it's too time consuming and it's not a life of freedom, but I turn to God. He's the one watching my back. I don't need the power. He's got it all.
When I became a Christian, I found a new sense of real power. You know, you wouldn't really associate Christianity and power. But I experienced a lot of power in my life where I gained power over my emotions. I gained power over myself and control over myself. I felt so good that no matter what happened to me, I felt in control and in power because I could at least control my emotions and how I responded to things. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verses 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." What I love about that is that happened to me and I begin to feel empowered even though nothing changed. There was a new sense of stillness and power from the inside out.
So true power is being able to control just your own emotions and giving your life over to God. Let's hear from Rob Radosti after the break.
Real Life is made possible by people like you. We'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank you for your generous support. We couldn't do it without you. May God bless.
Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Rob Radosti, and he's a former Satanist who got involved also with witchcraft and then became a devil worshiper. We're going to find out what brought him to that and also how he had a powerful encounter with the living God. Let's welcome to the show, Rob. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yes. So I understand that at age 10 years old, your father left you guys. And from there, you started to get sexually abused by a neighbor and your life just went haywire. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, which was very strict. And it's kind of similar to a Messianic Judaism, but there's a real focus on the law, you know, the Sabbath and what you can and can't eat. So I had a real knowledge of the law growing up. But when it came to things like the Holy Spirit or feeling God's love or anything like that, that didn't really exist. And it kind of all came to a head, you know, because I had a lot of questions as a child. I mean, my parents, when they were together, they were good parents up to that point that he left for the most part. But there was a lot of questions I had that just weren't answered.
Yeah.
So when my dad left, it was kind of one of these situations where I guess he'd been living a double life for a while and we didn't know about it. And he was kind of a lay pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And so it came as a shock to everybody and it blew up overnight. I woke up in the morning, he was gone. And everything inside me, you know, when I heard, well, he's not coming back this time, you know, he was just everything to me. And outside of how our relationship is now restored, which is a whole nother testimony of its own,
right.
In my 10-year-old mind, my world just fell apart.
Wow.
I call it the day that part of me died, something inside me died. And I experienced emotions, you know, like any child who's parents go through a split or a divorce. I experienced emotions that I didn't know existed.
Right.
Rage, anger, wanting to die, you know, anger at God, just all these things that I never encountered before.
Wow.
And so that kind of began my descent into trying to find an expression for all of these things that was now my life, which
right.
I didn't know how to process.
And this anger brought you to you starting to have desires to do other things like cross-dressing, and sexual abuse started from the neighbor girl. And things just started to spin out of control because you were given a book about Satanism. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so all of my life I've been in a very small private school, Seventh-day Adventist school, and so we weren't allowed to kind of be friends with kids that were of different belief systems or people who ate pork or anything like that. And so, you know, after my dad left and my mom kind of lost her faith for a while there and just trying to fill that void where that hurt was and go to the bars and stuff. And I didn't even know what all that was.
Right.
And, you know, in that time I asked her if I could go to public school. And at this point, she let me. She never would have before, but we were kind of so broken that we didn't really care what was happening. And so what she didn't know was that from the time I was probably 9, maybe even 8 to, I don't know, 9, 10, something like that, there was a 14-year-old girl down the road that would just begin to molest me in the woods and different things. And so when my dad left, putting that together with what was happening to me, I felt like a victim. I felt angry. I felt like I wasn't protected. And so I kind of thought maybe if I go to public school, I'll meet other kids who know what I'm feeling, because it's kind of like I felt like a monster. You know, I felt like in my class of 4 kids that I grew up in, you know, my graduating 8th grade class was literally 4 people, you know, and I'm thinking these kids have no idea what I'm feeling. Maybe I could make friends that know what I'm going through. And so that's what put the fire under me to go to public school. So when I went, you know, I was plunged into this world that I didn't know existed. I mean, I grew up in Florida, and this was during the influx of lots of Caribbean nations into Florida. And so there was all these different gangs, and they just were all representing their own nations and just all hating each other. And, you know, I didn't know racism existed. I'd never heard of any of this stuff before. And so I got caught in the middle of one of these gang fights one day, and, you know, they nearly took my life in the school. And then people would make fun of me for it. And I just couldn't find the friends that I was hoping I'd find. And my life's just getting threatened. And so one day I was just kind of walking down the hallway, feeling really down in the dumps. I attempted suicide the night before at home. I was about 12 at this point. And I didn't go through with it because I don't think I really wanted to die. I was just really angry and I wanted to feel some relief somehow.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'll just give it one more day, you know, and I dropped the knife, my hands shaking. I'm looking in the mirror, telling myself how much I hate myself or whatever. But I said, you know, I'll just give it one more day. And I go to school. I'm walking down the hallway and there's this guy that looks like, you know, it's Halloween in May. And I'm thinking, what in the world? He's got like black circles around his eyes, his eyebrows shaved off. He's got these long black nails. At first, I couldn't tell if he was a man or a woman. And I was really intrigued because with what I have been going through and kind of keeping it secret, I began to wonder maybe I should have been born a female and maybe I don't know who I am. And maybe, you know, I was dealing with same-sex attraction as well. And with that, I felt like a monster too. And, you know, in the early 90s, there was no quote-unquote safe place for these things. People would kill you. I mean, they threatened to kill you at school, you know, if you came out with stuff like this. And so I just felt really alone. And so I approached this person and I just said, I was wondering if I'd be allowed to hang out with you. And that's when they were one of the first people to say, sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that it's because there is an agenda, you know, to turn me on to Satanism. And that's what their group was. But at that point, I really didn't care. I didn't want to feel like the victim anymore. I wanted to feel powerful. I wanted to feel like, you know, I had something to offer to the world or something. And so that day, this guy handed me a satanic Bible and he said, take it home, study it, memorize the statements and come back and let me know your progress. And then we'll kind of induct you, you know, into the group. And so that's how the Satanism thing started. And that was really the gateway into the rest of the whole descent into darkness.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing that you were just really looking to fill a hole in your heart and to fill that void that your dad left and all the anger and all these things coming together. And you found a place that what you thought would accept you.
Yeah.
You take this book home and there's so much that happened after you got that book. And we want to share more about that in our next show. So we're going to pray for those who have maybe been abused or sexually abused, who have been through a hard time in their life, or they're even feeling depressed and alone, and let them know there's hope because, Rob, you are alive and there is a God. So we're going to pray for them right now, and we'll have you back on our next show.
Amen. That's awesome.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this testimony. And it's just such a real testimony, Lord, about how we're all looking for a place to belong, to feel safe. And there's so many who might even be listening right now and saying, gosh, I feel like I've lost that place of home. Where is my home? Where do I belong? Sometimes we get involved in the wrong types of groups or the wrong types of things. And we need to realize that God is always having his hands wide open for us and saying, come home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, we take a moment right now for anyone who's out there saying, I need home. Mm-hmm. Where is my home?
Yeah.
Jesus, we call upon your name. We receive you. We believe in you. And we ask for you, Lord God, to give us home again, deep in our hearts, filling that hole in our hearts. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God will give you the belonging that you desire. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.